Ahoy everyone. Today it's Wednesday 27th of February 2019 and this is recording number 36 for Voyagers Under Sail. It's been quite a long time since the last recording, but life got in the way. Anyway, we are here in we are in Panama, in a Shelter Bay Marina in Panama. Since the last recording, we've seen many other places, so let's try to catch up on what happens in the past month and a half, almost. We left our audio journal in San Martin last time, and now we are on the way to... getting ready to go to British Virgin Islands, okay? So on the January 9th, a Wednesday evening, around 5 o'clock, we left Marigot Bay in San Martin for BVI. That was an overnight sail. We were expecting a little bit of nice winds, around 10 knots or something like that, to do an easy sail all the way to BVI. As soon as we got out, the wind wasn't really there, so we end up motoring all the way to BVI from 6 o'clock in the afternoon till 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, 14 hours motoring. So that was the situation. We had to motor to, because we wanted to get in BVI as early as possible. We didn't really fancy the idea of spending too much time making this passage. When we arrived to BVI from the south, so to speak, you see the islands, especially Virgin Gorda and that part of the BVI. You see them from quite afar, and it's very confusing unless you have the GPS. It's very confusing to decide what is what and where you need to make your entrance. Only when we were, let's say, maybe 4 or 5 miles from the islands, we kind of knew somehow what passage we need to take in order to get inside BVI, because there is only one safe passage. It's called Round Rock Passage. All the other ones have reefs. So we saw that passage where we head for it. David got very excited at that point because he saw some caves, and he read in the pilot book, the guidebook, about the hidden treasures in the islands, and he got very excited at that time, you know, planning how to go and find the next treasure. That was funny in the beginning, but after that, he kept on going for like every single day. You know, when we go to that island, when we go to that island, are we going to find a big treasure? Are we going to find a small treasure? The idea of him finding a treasure really got into him. He really believed that it's possible to find a treasure on one of the islands in today's time. Anyway... we went straight for St. Thomas, to do the clearing in, the check-in in Virgin Gorda. We just dropped the anchor in front of the town, so to speak, on the side, and took the dinghy straight to the docks, the marina dock. Went into, you know, 500 meters walk, went to the ferry dock where the official entry can be, the papers can be done, and in less than half an hour we had all the papers sorted. It was pretty decently cheap to get into the country. I can't remember exactly how much, but you know, not a lot of money, let's say 50 euro, something like that, for all the formalities. And after that, our biggest problem was cash, because we arrived without cash, or with very little cash, and we knew that in most of the places, especially in the remote islands, they only take cash, they wouldn't take credit cards very easily. So We were lucky. There was only one ATM in the whole island, and that ATM had some cash. And we got a bit of cash out of that ATM, went straight back to the dinghy and back to our boat. The plan was to go to the Bath, which is an absolutely beautiful place in Virgin Gorda. So the plan was to go to the Bath and spend a day and a night in that area. In Virgin Gorda, in many places, they're not, especially in the Bath, it's a national park, you're not allowed to anchor, so you just need to pick up a mooring ball. So we went over there. By now, we lost already two hooks over the past 10 days by now. So we kind of had to pick up the mooring ball without a hook. And we managed to come up with a decent technique. Claudia will take the helm. She'll drive the boat beside the mooring ball. From the side of the boat, I will just lower myself while holding on to the shrouds and the lifelines, and pick the mooring ball, the small ball, with my foot. And from there, I'll run quickly a rope through the ring, reverse, and get ourselves attached to the mooring ball. So the first mooring ball that we picked, it was pretty busy at the Bath. Like at least 20 boats at mooring ball. So we felt very lucky when we saw a mooring ball free. We picked it up. It was quite out, far out from the action. But no, we're happy. We picked up the mooring ball. We took the dinghy to the edge of the swimming area where you are supposed to tie your dinghy to those little balls that delimitate the swimming area. And then you basically swim up to the beach. There is no landing of your dinghy in the Bath. It's absolutely forbidden. It's you know, you're not allowed to bring any dinghy, anything, to the beach. So it's a 200 meters swim, I'd say, or 300 meters swim from the edge of the swimming area to the beach. That makes for a very nice way to discover the Bath. And the Baths are a fantastic geographical feature in that part. They're these big boulders. When I say big, I'm talking house big, you know, 10, 15 meters, 7 meters tall. And they are one on top of each other. And they're kind of, you know, corridors and little caves that you can explore going under these boulders, and there is the sea washing and a bit of sand. So it's just a fantastic place. We believe the Bath have been the best place that we visited in the entire Caribbean in terms of natural features by the sea. So We went there. I had to go up to the park ranger to buy the permit for the day. It's only, I think it was $5 per person or $10 per person. I think it was $5 per person. So we got those day passes. We spent the afternoon going through this maze of caves and tunnels. Then we went back to the boat and we decided that it's such a nice place, we're not going to leave the next day, we're going to stay an extra day. So the next morning we went back to the beach, the same story, but this time because we moved the boat, sorry. In the evening, the boat starting to leave, so the mooring balls that were closer to the beach were free. So we moved the Kuvadis to a mooring ball that was really close to the swimming area. You could almost swim from the boat to the beach if you wanted, and that was fantastic. And that was really surprising because a lot of boats left, and we were left only maybe three boats in the whole area through the night, everybody seemed to head somewhere else, and that was very surprising. We didn't expect that, people to not want to spend the night in such a beautiful place, and it was comfortable. So seriously, I don't see the reason for people not spending the night there. It was a little bit exposed, but the sea was very calm. It was a pleasant night. As I said, the next day we explored again the baths. We went even further out to the next little bay, you know, walking. Then I took David on a hike through this area, and we discovered a kind of a semi-abandoned, I wouldn't call it a hotel, but there were about 5 or 6 huts with a big swimming pool and a little community living in behind these boulders up onto the platform. But the way to get up to them from the beach was through this little, I wouldn't even call them bridges, suspended little planks and little bridges, and that will take somebody from down the beach all the way to their living camp, a little campsite. But it was made out of little huts. Okay, so that was another little adventure. As the evening came, we kind of realized that, look, if we sail for 3 hours, we'll be able to get the next stop. So we decided not to spend an extra night in the bath, but to set sail and go to our next destination. So from there, we went to the top of Virgin Gorda into Gorda Sound. We almost motor all the way up with a little bit of sailing, like a motor sailing kind of business. I think it was just around 3 hours to get there. We wanted to arrive during daylight to decide where to pick the mooring ball. So what was interesting for that night that we spent at the mooring ball in the Virgin Gorda, we didn't pay a cent. So despite picking a mooring ball, despite the fact that everybody tells you it's going to cost you $20 if you pick a mooring ball, nobody came to collect any fee. And that night was free of charge. So we went into the Gorda Sound and we said, okay, we're going to go and pick a mooring ball beside the... I can't remember the name of the place. Leverick Bay, yeah? Leverick Bay. And when we got there, we picked the mooring ball, and a very friendly guy who was... just, to the next mooring ball, he said, "Oh, did you book your mooring ball?" I said, "No, but, just read on the board, it says reservations only." And said, "Okay, if you want, I can help you make quickly a booking online." I was thinking, okay, it's going to be only $20. It's fine. Okay, let's do that. So the man goes online and says, "Oh, look, they ask you for a $5 registration fee, and then the mooring ball itself is $35. It is free, but it's going to cost you $30. It's going to cost you $35 to pick this mooring ball for the night. And I'm telling you, if you don't pay, they will come and kick you out, because there was another guy here earlier. He did exactly what you did, and the people who patrolled the area came and told him to leave because he didn't make the payment." And when I heard it's $35 for one night at a mooring ball, I said, "This is just crazy. I'm not going to pay $35 for that." So we left the mooring ball and we went across the bay to the back of Prickly Pear Island, where it was just anchorage. And we dropped the anchor. We made sure that we are safe. And we end up spending 2 nights at anchor in that spot. And that was... nice and comfortable. I think the next day, so that was the night. The next day, we took the dinghy across the bay to the Leverick Bay. We went to the bar. We got a little bit of, I think, ice and a bit of internet from the bar. Spent the day swimming a little bit around the boat. We had some nursing sharks, baby nursing sharks. beside the boat, and everybody was a bit panicked about them. But I jumped into the water, and they just, you know, checked me out from a little distance, and then they ignored me. I was a little bit too big for them to even approach me. So we spent a full day behind Prickly Pear Island. We took the dinghy to explore a little bit of the coast of the island, but no, we were not really tempted to land the dinghy. And after spending two nights there, early in the morning, we set up for Anegada. And that was a beautiful sail up to Anegada. We left very early in the morning, again around 6 o'clock. We like to make these short passages very early in the morning or late in the afternoon to give ourselves the middle of the day for you know, relaxing and exploring. You don't really want to be on deck under the heat of the sun in the middle of the day because we don't have much shade in the cockpit. That's one of our little problems. Anyway, we went to Anegada, and the anchorage in Anegada, it's really, really shallow. You have to follow a very strict channel to get inside behind the reef. And once you are inside, you are lucky if you have 3 meters. So that makes for a very restricted maneuvering and all of that. We got into the channel. We identified the entrance to the channel nicely. We got inside behind the reef where the anchorage and the mooring balls are. And we did pick a mooring ball, the same technique as before. Go along, pick it with my foot, run a rope through, and then reverse. But we were in only 2 meters of water. Like after that, when I went into the sea to check how much water we have under our keel, we barely had 30 centimeters of water under our keel. Really, really tight. But it was a very calm place, very calm sea. There was almost no waves or swell or anything. So the 30 centimeters of water under the keel was all we needed to be safe. But that tells you how little space for maneuver we have, because just, you know, another 10, 15 meters ahead of us, it would be less than 2 meters. But anyway, that was that place. We made friends with a family from a trimaran. We went, we stayed in Anegada for I think 3 nights or 2 nights, I can't remember. I think it was 2 nights. I can't remember exactly. I believe it was 3 nights in the end. We stayed 2 and then another extra night. I can't remember. The idea was that it was Tia's birthday, so we went to, you know, to be in a nice place, and Anegada was definitely a nice place. We took a little walk to try to see the pink flamingos. We did manage to see the pink flamingos from the road. There is an observation point on the main road that cuts across the island. And from there, they have very nice and powerful binoculars installed on the observation point. And you can see the flamingos far in the distance, but I'm talking far in the distance. You really, you know, without the binoculars, you barely notice where they are. With the binoculars, you kind of make out some features and you see some individuals, but you don't really see them up and close. Anyway, the restaurant that we are moored in front of was organizing free shuttle bus to one of their sister resorts, where you have a nice swimming pool, bar, football, volleyball playing area, you know, a lot of little game areas to will keep people entertained. So after spending the first day on the boat, the next day we took it to, and it was Dora's birthday. No, it wasn't. I'm wrong. The next day we went to, it was Dora's birthday on that day, yeah? Yeah, it was. The next day we went to the to this little resort with a free shuttle bus. We spent a beautiful day over there. That was the first day that we tried the painkiller cocktail, and Claudia liked it. And in the afternoon, we came back to the boat. We booked a table at the restaurant, and we had a dinner for Tia's birthday in the restaurant. You know, it wasn't very cheap because we decided to have lobster, to treat ourselves to lobster for Tia's birthday. But it was a lovely dinner, it was a lovely evening. The restaurant has a big pontoon over the water, nice lights. It was a nice atmosphere. So that was for Tia's birthday on January 14th by now, okay? And yeah, we went back to the boat after that, and I think the next day, yeah, so that makes it two nights. After that, the next morning, we left from Anegada to head back towards Virgin Islands, and we went towards a bay called Trellis Bay. Okay, it's on the north side, northwest side of the Virgin, British Virgin Island, the Tortola. Okay, by this time we were kind of running low on water, because we just filled up with water in Maricot Bay in San Martin. We did that by a jerry can. I was carrying, you know, I did three runs or so to the dock and got the water. So we went back to, we needed to a place to fill up our tank with water. And we went to Scroob Island Marina, contact them on radio. They direct us to the fuel dock, and we got a nice fill, a full tank of water. That was $40, okay, to fill up our tank with water. It cost us $40. In Anegada, we did spend money on the mooring ball. We kind of got a deal for two nights. We paid $50 instead of $30 for every night. We paid $25 per night because we stayed two nights. And we asked actually for a discount. And then we had to pay the $40 to fill up the tank. In San Martin, in Marigot Bay, I put water in the tank free of charge. I just ran the dinghy to the dock, filled up my jerry cans, come back to the boat, and that was it. But British Virgin Islands, we had to pay for the water. That was okay. And when the tank was full with water, we took the lines off and we moved away from the dock, just to realize that David is not on the boat. While we were filling up, he took his phone and ran to the, you know, restaurant or whatever office area, because he knew he would be able to pick up a free Wi-Fi. And we just didn't realize he's not on the boat, because he went off, he came back, and then he went off again without me noticing. So here we are in the channel, realizing that David's not on the boat. I tried to call the marina to explain them what's going on. They didn't really pay attention. So I just went back to the dock, tied up again, and then Claudia went to get him. He was very casual about it. He didn't even notice that we left him behind. Anyway, that was a little lesson to learn. From there, it was only a 10-minute sail to Trellis Bay. Trellis Bay, it's a place that was very famous with yachts before the hurricane hit in 2018. And now that place, at least when we got there, the place was still devastated. There were at least 20 wrecks on the beach. I heard later, talking to a local woman, that after the hurricane, all the boats were on the beach. Some of them were so far up the beach, they were almost in front, at the front door of the restaurants or, you know, whatever houses that were in the area. Apparently, that part of that bay was absolutely destroyed. There was a restaurant, Bellamy Cay. There was a little restaurant in the middle of the bay on a tiny island. that was abandoned as well. Anyway, we got to Trellis Bay. We picked up a mooring ball again. Nobody came to charge us a dime. And we spent a night there. The next morning, we explored the beach a little bit, looked around to see what's going on. That's when I met the local woman, and she told me how bad it's been. We took a picture of the wreck, some pictures of the wrecks, and after that we set sail from Trellis Bay to go all the way down to let me see, I don't want to make a mistake. Yeah, all the way down to Peter Island, okay. And there is an anchorage in Dead Man's Bay, and we kind of wanted to go there. It looked like it's going to be a perfect place. But once we got there, the hotel that was on the bay was again being redone, refurbished after the hurricane, and the bay felt desolated. For some reason, by now, we kind of hated to be in places by ourselves. We wanted to be in places that there would be other people around, okay? So we just stopped there, we had lunch, and then said, okay, we need to move to another bay because this is just feels too isolated, no other boats around. We were sick of being on our own. I know a lot of people kind of dream of going to a remote anchorage with a beautiful beach and be just by themselves. Strangely enough, at this point, we just wanted company, we wanted to see people around us, we wanted to see other boats around us. We hated the idea of being on our own at an anchor for a full night. So we left Dead Man's Bay really quickly, and we went to the kind of further east along the island, and we discovered the Little Harbor Bay, and that was a gem. Really, really beautiful place. I think we spent 3 nights in that bay. It was that nice. It was very small. You had to drop your anchor and then reverse towards the shore and put another line on the shore around the boulders or two. We actually put 2 lines to hold you in place because the bay is so small. If you have like 1 or 2 boats in the middle of the bay dropping the anchor, they will take the full bay. So the sensible thing to do is to reverse to the shore, put 2 lines, hold you against the shore, and this way you can fit maybe 5-6 boats in the bay. Anyway, the bay in the middle is very deep anyway, and you want to be tied to the shore and do this kind of anchoring. And this was a beautiful bay. The beach was pebble beach. It wasn't a sand beach, but it was, the bay was nicely enclosed with little hills all the way around. There was an abandoned house on top of one of the hills, and we went and explored that and amazed ourselves at how people can build such a big house so far out from any roads. So that was Little Harbor. We tried to fish. We didn't catch any fish despite seeing fish jumping all over the bay. We swam around the boat, we just relaxed. It was 2 days almost, because we stayed for 3 nights. So the second day and the day after, we just relaxed and took it really easy. I heard about this Little Harbor, this bay, from an American guy that I met in Anegada. He told me, look, if you have a chance, go and check it out. You'll be very pleased. He also told me about Trellis Bay and said, look, if you go and pick up a mooring ball, nobody's going to charge you. So we were happy because, you see, so far we got, to spend more than a week in British Virgin Islands, and we only paid for 2 nights in Anegada for the mooring balls. Apart from that, it was free anchoring or free mooring balls. And that really helped our budget. After spending some, as I said, 3 nights in the Little Harbor, we are hoping to meet again with our friends from Baron. These are two friends that we made in Canary Islands. We were hoping to meet them here because we knew they are in British Virgin Islands. But for some reason we missed them. They were in another island, in another anchorage, in Norman Island. And the next day we actually went to Norman Island. We picked up a mooring ball again, free of charge, and we went to see the caves, the famous caves where around Treasure Point, where apparently people discovered a treasure about 100 and some years ago. So I took David there. All four of us went there. But again, you cannot beach the dinghy, so me and David just went snorkeling through the caves. And it was a very nice experience, a unique way. The first time, we haven't seen that before. It was the caves were not very deep, but the fish that we've seen in the reef and in the caves were amazing. Actually, I remember seeing a little octopus. And the colors of the fish, it was a very nice experience. But again, we didn't spend much time. We just went there. We snorkeled for about half an hour or so. We were back to our boat in less than an hour and a half. And from there, we set for Joost van Dijk, because we kind of started to run short of time by now. We spending the other days in the other places. And we wanted to keep going and make our way towards our next destination, which was the Dominican Republic. So our next stop had to be Joost van Dijk. And we sailed all the way to Joost van Dijk. That was beautiful, absolutely beautiful sail, very calm. And on the way to Joost van Dijk, our friends for a beer on said, "Look, guys, what's going on? I thought you were going to stay in Norman Bay. We are here." But by now we are about 3-4 miles away from Norman Bay. And if we were to return, we'll have to spend the night. Then that would mean we'll give us less time in Joost van Dijk. And we just had a good conversation with our friends over VHF. And then head to Joost van Dijk. Now, this is where the drama started, because looking at the charts and everything else, I said, okay, we have to go into Great Harbor. And we got into Great Harbor, where you have Fox's bar. But I don't know, we were a little bit, I wouldn't say disappointed, but it wasn't what we expected. You know, when you hear about Joost van Dijk and all the party and all of that, and you go to the Great Harbor, you look around and say, okay, it's pretty, it's nice, but no, nothing else. And Tia and David and even Claudia start giving out to me that why I don't go to the next one, to the White Bay, the next little anchorage. And I explained to them, look at the reefs, look at that, it's very difficult to get in, it's very narrow. I wouldn't really adventure there. So no, you have to go there. Okay. So after just being less than 1 hour in Great Harbor, we let go of the mooring ball and move to the next place, to White Bay. And indeed, the entrance to the anchorage was really, really tight. The anchorage was packed, absolutely packed. There is no mooring balls there. Maybe it's only two mooring balls. But apart from that, the anchorage was absolutely packed. So we got there. There was a little corner where a bit of free space. I dropped the anchor in, again, 2.5, 3 meters of water. I could see the reef on the side of the boat. Like, if the wind was to shift, the boat will swing straight into the reef. But only, like, with 20 minutes in, a boat left. That was kind of, somewhere a little bit in a better place, and we went straight and took their spot. And that was it. That was our luck. We spent again, I think, two nights in Joost van Dijk. I I didn't have money to pay for a taxi, so I had to walk all the way back into the Great Harbor over the hill. It's kind of a half an hour trek. And keep in mind, guys, we were short on cash, so we paid for the restaurant in Anegada by credit card, but apart from that, any other dealing would be cash. Anyway, I went into Great Harbor, checked out the little village and the little store. There was very little stuff to buy from the store, but anyway, I talked to the lady and she said, look, I can charge your credit card, let's say $325, and I'll give you $300. So that was the way to get cash in Joost van Dijk, pay your almost 8% or something like that commission to get cash from your credit card. But I had to do that because we knew we were going to go to Dominican Republic where people want US dollars and where they want they want cash again. So that was our big mistake. We never had enough cash on us since we left Saint Martin. Anyway, the White Bay is the party bay. It's the bay where we have about the few bars. People come, day trippers, a lot of boats come, and they spend the day in the bars, on the beach, having fun. And this is what we did as well. Just spend the day on the beach. We give Tia and David a bit of money. They'll get a drink from the bar and sit on the beach on the sun deck. Being on the internet, playing football, playing volleyball. We spent a beautiful 2 days in Joost van Dijk. We made friends with a couple from England and Ireland, a guy called Rosa and his girlfriend from UK. We made friends with Travis and Megan. It was a fantastic place. Travis was so good that he saw that David was into paddleboarding. And on the night that we left, he came along our boat with his paddleboard, a little bit banged up, and said, look, I want to get a new paddleboard. I'm happy to give this to David if you want to take it. And this is how we got a free stand-up paddleboard from him. It was absolutely, unexpected and a very good present. David was very happy about it. So after Joost van Dijk, we left for Dominican Republic. We initially wanted to go to Puerto Rico or to American Virgin Islands. But looking at the guidebook, despite us being Irish citizens, you cannot enter United States territory without a proper visa if you want to enter by boat. And the process of getting a proper visa will take at least 2 weeks and it'll be $400 to $500 at least. So we gave up on the idea. But as I was doing the checkout from Joost van Dijk, the man at the immigration told me, look, you take a ferry to American Virgin Islands. It's going to cost you $50 a return ticket. With your Irish passports, you get into U.S. territory, you get your passport stamped, you get your visa, and then you come back and you take your boat. Because if you have the stamp from the U.S. immigration, then you can come with the boat without an extra visa. Then you're part of the system, so to speak. But we didn't know that, so it was too late. So that's it. That was it. We decided to skip American Virgin Islands. We decided to skip Puerto Rico and head straight for Dominican Republic for Samana Bay. But that will be another recording. This is already quite long, 40 minutes. Maybe I lost a little bit of my ability to record properly, but I had to keep to catch up with our audio journal. So, talking about this, how we felt and how was the spirit on the boat during this British Virgin Islands exploration. We stayed, I think, about 10 or 11 nights in total. We were happy because the waters were very calm. The anchorages were calm as well. The beaches were nice. We didn't spend much money, apart from the night that we went to the restaurant for Dora's birthday. We actually ate on the boat all the time. We'll have a couple of drinks in the bar, maybe get an ice cream. But apart from that, we lived on our provisions from Saint Martin, and very little stuff that we bought from that shop in Jos Van Dyke. So in the end, Virgin Islands turned out to be our less expensive exploration, or whatever you want to call it, in the whole Caribbean. We spent less than €1,000 euro in those 10 days. I think it was only around 600 or something like that. So it was really good value. But that was because we avoided to pay for the mooring balls. Like, you know, we tried to pick up places where we wouldn't be charged, or we stayed at anchor. Okay, we only paid $50 for two nights mooring balls. Then we had to pay the fees for checking and checking out, and it was the restaurant meal and drinks in the bars during the whole 10 days. Apart from that, we ate on the boat. We had plenty of provisioning in the fridge, and that made for a very inexpensive way of exploring the Virgin Islands. We were kind of sorry to leave because it was the kind of place that you want to hang around for much longer. But we had to move on because our plan was to get to Panama in time, and we still had to go and visit Dominican Republic and then probably Cuba. So that was British Virgin Islands. Talk to you soon.